Thank you, Infinity. And of course, we want to say a good morning to our listeners. With me, I have a couple of young people. And of course, they have a very, very exciting project for Tobago to hear about and, you know, to really get excited about. So first of all, I want to introduce Miss Neela Bob Prescott, or is it Mrs.? Mrs. Neela Bob Prescott, and she's a senior technical officer of Canary, and with her, Martin Barito, director, Sustainable Grenadines Inc. He's from the St. Vincent and the Grenadines, so of course that is going to be an interesting part of this conversation. And with us, we also have Ken Mondial, and he's the facilitator, director, and partner with Melanesian. I hope I got that correct, right, in Papua New Guinea. So he has traveled a long way to be here with us. So let's start with Mrs. Bob Prescott. Good morning, and tell the people of Tobago and Trinidad and Tobago why we're here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning specifically to the people of Tobago. It's nice to be home. And my main purpose of being home is to really use a new three-dimensional model of Tobago and using it to plan for dealing with the impacts of climate change. So this is part of a number of activities that we have had on this project. We came earlier in the year and we went out via mobilization meetings in Argyle and in Scarborough, and we met with a number of groups, and they have committed to come and help us build this model. So over the weekend, we had some really great young people coming out from Scarborough Secondary, from the UWE Open Campus, and from Signal Hill Secondary School, and they assisted us starting off in building the model. They assisted us to assemble the bases and to start cutting the layers to put together this three-dimensional model of Tobago. Hopefully, during the next couple of days, we have several groups that have committed to come out and help us put the features on the model. What do we want to see on the model? The rivers, the streams, the natural resources. And we have a number of groups that have committed, the Charlotteville Village Council, Tobago Cocoa Farmers, Roxborough Police Youth Group, number of groups that have listed, the Southwest Fishermen Association, have all committed to come out and help us put in the features on the model. And what we want to do today is just to remind people that yes, the model is being built, and come out from Wednesday in your appointed time and help us make this thing happen.
Are there other members of the public who could just, you know, by hearing this, decide, I want to be part of this experience? Is it a thing where they can just come and volunteer their time individually, or they must be part of one of these groups?
We would really prefer, because we are limited with the space and we only have a hall, a small hall, that you
We do apologize for the break in our broadcast. That was a situation beyond our control. We've got it rectified now. We now take you live back to our broadcast.
Thank you for joining us here again. We're at Blemin, and we're talking about the project She Becomes More Beautiful, Preserving Tobago's Resources for a Better Tomorrow. I'm Sophia Cooper, and with me I have three members of this team, and they'll be telling us a lot more about what this project is all about, especially this Wednesday when they're expecting all those volunteers to come on out and really contribute to this project. So you were telling us, Neela, that you want persons to be excited about Wednesday, and of course remember that they have to make the time to come on out. If you have to schedule perhaps time and dates and so on, then you do that. So maybe you need to give them a number just to remind them, if they need to do so, which number and who they should contact.
So they could contact us at 789-9917 to schedule the time that they would like to come in and work. We have a small hall, and we want to ensure that you are comfortable as you work. And we are doing catering, so we want to make sure that we have enough food. So when you get excited and you start to use up your energy, you are satisfied. So it's a lot of hard work, as Ken has said. So you need to keep your energy levels up.
So let me bring Ken in here. You're the facilitator for this project. And, you know, people might be listening and wondering, so how is this model going to help with climate change? Explain to us, how is this going to be useful or beneficial?
All right. Thank you, people of Trinidad and Tobago. We have done three-dimensional modeling in the South Pacific and in the Philippines. And it's a very popular tool for local communities, especially in the Caribbean. We have coastal and marine environment. And so in the event of sea level rise, the people that are living along the coastal areas are faced with high level of sea and also flooding from the rivers and streams on the land. And so the three-dimensional model, once the model is complete, it gives them a relief model and image of the island and the territories and the coastal environment to the local people, the fishermen and the fisher folks that are living.
Consistent power surges continue to affect our live broadcast, but we now have a solution to the problem, so we now take you back to our live broadcast.
Hi, good morning, Infinity, and thank you again. You know, they say that the third time's the charm, so I'm sure that we're going to make it through the end of this interview and, of course, giving Tobago and Trinidad and Tobago all the information they need to know about the project, She Becomes More Beautiful, Preserving Tobago's Resources for a Better Tomorrow. I'm Sophia Cooper, and, of course, with me, I have Neela Bob Prescott, Martin Barito, and Ken Mondial. And they'll be talking about this 3D modeling project. All hands on deck, as they say, especially from Wednesday when they're expecting the volunteers to come in from the various groups to help with putting this together. Now, we were speaking with Ken, and he was telling us about how popular this particular project is in the Philippines and the South Pacific, and how especially important it is for fishermen and coastal communities, because we're talking about climate change and rising sea levels. So we'll start with you again, Ken, telling us some more about the importance of such a project.
Yes, as I was saying, the Caribbeans have many islands, and with the global warming agenda and sea level rise, many of the coastal communities will be faced with saltwater intrusion into the freshwater wells. And also we might find that activities happening on the land will result in sedimentation and soil erosion ending up in the sea, and could also affect the coral reef and the mangrove that also provide habitat for fisheries and fish breeding. And so once we have the model complete, it will provide a tool for the local communities, the fishermen, the divers, and the tour operators, and especially, more importantly, the communities that are dependent on the coastal and marine environment for their livelihood, to look at the model and to plan on how they can relocate in the event of sea level rise and other natural disasters that are going to take place in the future. And so this 3D model is a very important tool that we have found that has helped a lot of communities in the South Pacific. And we believe with the 3D dimensional model that is now undertaking here in Tobago, it will have a lot more influence and impact on the way the community decides to plan the future livelihood and also the other business aspects.
So, Ken, what you're saying is that you're putting the opportunity in the hands of the people or the public to plan where this thing goes. Because you're talking about global warming, and you're talking about rising sea levels, and you even mentioned the effects. We're talking about saltwater into freshwater wells. So it'll probably cost more to actually have pipe-borne water. We're talking about sedimentation, soil erosion, and damage to the effectiveness of reefs. So we're talking about our food supply when it comes to marine life. And that's interesting because we also have with us a member of the Sustainable Grenadines, Inc., Director Martin Barito. And I understand he's here from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And if we're talking about coastal communities and small island developing states like Tobago and Trinidad and Tobago, we're talking about a Caribbean initiative in more than one way here. So let me just bring in Martin quickly and tell us, what do you see in terms of the influence and benefit to St. Vincent and the Grenadines for this project that Ken just explained to us is being used in the South Pacific and in particular the Philippines?
Okay, good morning to Tobago and Trinidad. Good morning to Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines, if you could hear me. And it's really a privilege to be here and to learn from the technology that Ken talked about in the South Pacific, and now it's being transferred to the Caribbean. Now, climate change is real. And it affects all small island cities, as Ken was saying. and it will affect the Grenadines, St. Vincent and Grenada also. But what is most important is that the debate in climate change is being done more by technocrats, researchers, government officials, and we find community is not involved, one, and two, they don't understand. So the P3D modeling that is being done now is really to bring community in the forefront of that debate. Community here in Tobago, community here in Grenada, community in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And it's really to represent community views. What is important about the resources to them? Where are their landmarks? Where do they collect their livelihoods? Where are the resources they use? And that could be used in planning. So it's really bringing community in the forefront of the debate. And that is what is important for us here in Tobago. No one to transfer to Grenada and St. Vincent. It's bring community into the climate change debate.
So this is also an education process. It's not just about only building this model so that people have a visual of what their situation is and how they can plan for eventualities in the future. We're talking about educating people on the issues involved, and so that they in turn can have a discourse with their leaders, political or community or otherwise, religious, etc., everybody, that the community members can have this discourse on what they want for their future. Right, Ken? Can you tell us, after using the model, what are some of the effects for communities after the community came on board and built this model?
The experience in the South Pacific on Solomon Islands is that the community initially did not fully understand the way the natural environment was, the river systems that flows from the mountains into the sea. And when the government of Solomon Islands decided to allocate to a Japanese company a nickel mining lease over their customary land, once the mining lease was issued, this was done without consulting the indigenous people who own the land and the forest. And so they requested that civil society groups in Papua New Guinea and Australia and the Solomon Islands help them to develop this participatory dimensional model. Once the model was completed and the model was the boundaries of the mining lease was overlaid onto the model, the people then realized the importance of their water source, the importance of their forest, and what was going to happen if, in the event of the mining development taking place, the dumping of the mining waste into the river system, which will then end up in the sea, affecting the marine environment, and which will also the local people's livelihood, the collection of fish and shells from the coastal area. And so from the experience from Solomon Islands, the community then decided that they will then approach their government and strongly voice their concern about the manner in which the government, without consulting them, allocated the mining lease over the land to the company for mine development. And so the mining issue, based on the three-dimensional model, has made the people more aware of the consequences of mining on their land and the future of the children. So at the moment, there's a debate between the government and the local landowners and the provincial government in order to stop the mining from taking place on the island of Choiseul.
That's important to know, because here we have a practical example of how this model can be used. So I want to take it back to Nila, because we have a situation where energy companies are looking at waters closer off the coast of Tobago, and I'm wondering if this model has any impact on how this situation of energy companies using the area in which the fishermen and their resources are held, and how that can impact on the use of the model. Is there any correlation?
Well, interestingly enough, during the mobilization meetings that ISTE already came out, and we had a huge turnout from the fisherfolk in Argyle and in Scarborough, and they highlighted that issue. And what we are saying is that the model could be used to explain the case of the fisherfolk as well as the energy company. It is a tool. Instead of giving a description, a concept of what you think the effect will be, Imagine if they can stand around the model of Tobago and the fishers could point and say, this is where we fish, this is where you intend to do your operations, and this is where we see your impact will be. So that's the power of the model. Instead of just saying and talking off your head and trying to describe, you would have a figure to point and discuss on. And this is one of the ways that the model could be used. But what Canary has done also is that we have attracted funding from the German embassy in Trinidad to do something which we had done formerly in St. Lucia, which is work with the people of Tobago to plan for the impact of climate change. We know there's a national climate change policy, but what does it mean to us here in Tobago? How many of us know what it says? What does it mean for your day-to-day activities? And what we did with the people of St. Lucia is work with them to figure out what needs to be done on the ground. Is it that civil society needs to give more information on how you channel wastewater off your houses? Is it that we need to give better information to developers in how they develop land mass pieces of land? This is the information that would come forward. And again, we would use the model. We would stand around the model and we would say, these are the areas in Tobago where we have the problem, and these are the suggestions that will come from the people who live in the communities.
Okay, so now we all have the information. We know that persons who are members of the groups mentioned earlier, and Nila will remind us, we know how important it is for those groups to come on board. And so just give them the number again, ensuring that if they need additional information on how they're going to put their time and effort towards this very important project, who they should contact. So just repeat the numbers and perhaps the list of groups who showed interest in the project.
So we're asking you to either call me at 789-9917, or we are here at Blenheim from 8 to 5:30 every day. You can drop in, speak to us, and make an appointment to come and work on the model. The groups that we have involved are the Tobago Cocoa Farmers, Charleville Village Council, Roxburgh Policy Youth Group, Southwest Fishermen Association, Environment Tobago, And the list is continuing to climb. I had some interest by some fishermen coming out of Palatuvie, and we have a young lady that's going out to them, I believe, this afternoon to talk about what the exercise is about and get them interested. And we also had a message from the beekeepers saying that they would like to be part of the exercise, and we're welcoming everybody. We just need to arrange it so we all are comfortable while we work.
In terms of duration, how long?
We hope to be finished with the model by October 10th because there has to be some digitizing of the data to carry it into GIS-type information. But on Friday the 12th, up at the Hospitality Institute, will be the gala ceremony where we have the handing over. And let me publicly say thanks to the Secretary of Environment, the Honorable Gary Melville, for hosting us and assisting us with the implementation of this project. And he has consented to be there on Friday, so we will show him what we have done. And THA will serve as storage keepers for the model for the people of Tobago.
Thank you so much, Nila. So just to repeat that number, it's 789-9917, 789-9917. So if you're affiliated with any of the groups she mentioned, you know, you can call that number and get the information needed if you want to volunteer your time, and I know that you do. So again, we want to say thanks to Nila Bob Prescott, and she's the Senior Technical Officer of Canary, and Martin Barito, Director of Sustainable Grenadines, Inc. He's from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Ken Mondial. He's the Facilitator and Director and partners with Melanesians. I need to remember that name, Melanesians, and that's in Papua New Guinea, right? So he's traveled a long way to be part of this project. So again, we say thanks to all our interviewees here, and and of course, remember the number 789-9917. 789-9917. I'm Sophia Cooper, and thank you for joining us.